This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Atlanta! Our Braves are up 1-0 in the World Series. It's Tukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! Listen, Atlanta, I know we're all dragging. This is going to be a week where we're all going to be tired, but hopefully it's going to be well worth it. Mike, last night, our Braves jumped out on the Astros, and we are set to be joined by John Smoltz, who you watch and you heard on the call last night, Hall of Famer and a longtime Brave. He's set to join us here in just a few minutes. But, Mike, what a way to start this World Series, man.
Man, unbelievable. I couldn't believe that nobody ever hit a leadoff home run before, right? I mean, we made some history last night. And Jorge Soler, great story. And, man, what a rocket ship, man. He waited to get a pitch that was up in the zone, 2-0 count, and whammy. And set the tone. And, you know, and from then on, we got, you know, to get two runs in the first, and then later on to kind of, you know, get add three more. It just, you just had a feeling, you know, just all the momentum. Sometimes you wonder when you go from one series to another, as you say, you're only as good as the next day's pitcher. But, you know, being on the road and just the momentum just rolled right through and you saw it.
Let's say good afternoon to our buddy Smoltzy, John Smoltz, joining us on Dukes and Bell as we get the day started. And Smoltzy, man, these bats. I mean, the Braves' bats remain hot, and I loved your analysis last night talking about, you know, picking the pitches, location, and how they're being selective and going after certain pitches, but the bats remain hot.
Yeah, they did. You know, when you go through a series, you sit down before and you try to analyze all the information, and you say, okay, here's what this guy's trying to do to us. Here's what we like to do to them. And you never know who's going to have the jitters or execute or get outside of themselves. And what I thought was real interesting was the hitting that happened in the first inning really set up, kind of, you could say, unnerved the Houston Astros pitcher, Valdez. He didn't get a couple calls early, which are key. You always are trying to find out, as a pitcher, where do I go early on? Where am I getting that inch? Because when I'm looking at a series or I'm breaking down, I know what the strengths of a pitcher are and a hitter are, and who's going to get that strengths imposed first. When they laid off a couple close sinkers and Valdez, a young pitcher, had to come in the zone, the Braves crushed it. And you got to give credit to either the strategy of what they were looking forward to do in the beginning. Because, see, this is what the Astros do to everybody. Their offense is so good, and they're usually pretty disciplined, that it takes a really, really good pitching performance to navigate and shut them down, and I thought the Braves did both.
I guess in some cases, John, you gotta throw some outside the strike zone for your first pitch because they're looking for that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you've got a nasty sinker like he had, and we're talking about shutting down one of the greatest offenses in a role of a season that Boston had. They were coming in and, you know, they were just beating people up, and he gained a lot of confidence in that game. He went 8 innings. And I think what happened, you know, just looking from afar, is you get now to the World Series, which is different, and you get a team that's hot coming in, like the Braves, and you kind of get punched early, and that set him back. You know, you're, as a pitcher, I've always loved this time of year, because those who can reset their computer are going to be fine. The ones who are like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And the more that happens, and you could see he just got out of himself and never really used his whole arsenal that I think, you know, game in and game out sets up well against the Braves. It just didn't that game. And again, the credit goes to the Braves laying off some pretty tough pitches.
John Smoltz, our guest, guys, Fox analyst, Hall of Famer, longtime Brave. I'm watching last night, and of course, I think most Braves fans gasped when we heard the news about Charlie Morton. But you've been a part of great bullpens. What about the job Minter did last night? Smoltz coming in. You talk about resetting your mind, 2 2/3 innings of work. What did you make of that last night?
Yeah, it was outstanding. It reminded me of last year's kind of performance that came out of nowhere where he started the game and went 3 innings and struck out 7. Look, he was gassed in that 3rd inning. And a lot of guys this time of year are going to be pretty tired because you've had to use so many bullpen guys. I don't know that I've seen too many years where a playoff system, and maybe you can use the excuse last year being the outlier and it was hard to cover innings this year, but guys are using their bullpens an awful lot. And what he did in those circumstances was impressive against, again, a really good lineup. He didn't give them anything to kind of get going. If you throw strikes against the Astros and quality pitches, you got a chance. If you're getting behind an account and walking guys, you're in trouble. And look, they did what they needed to do. Altuve, Correa, and Bregman were 0 for 12. Now, that's not going to continue. But if it does, the Braves are got a great chance of winning the World Series because those three guys are kind of the stir that gets them going.
I was just going to say that to you, John. John Smoltz with this guy's Hall of Famer here. Of course, the call tonight with Joe Buck on Fox. Yeah, you mentioned Altuve was really cold. Tucker's a guy who just seems like he is on fire right now. That maybe that's a guy you don't want to offer many strikes to.
Oh, I think he's swinging on his way to the plate. I mean, he wants to swing. And what makes him so unique, right, is they've got a guy hitting 7th that's the batting champ. They got a guy hitting in front of him that's a left-hander that's not afraid of anybody. And, oh, by the way, Alvarez is a beast. From the left side. So Max Fried has a chance to neutralize some of those left-handers, which would be very good if he can do that. But this guy on the mound for the Astros, Urquidy, is a really good mix-and-match guy. He's like a right-handed version of Framber. And, again, it'll be up to the Braves' right-handed hitters. If they can, you know, they've got thump, but they have swing and miss. And so if they can eliminate the amount of swing and misses off his breaking balls, he's got a really good slider and a changeup. I always like looking at these inner matchups that have strength on strength. You know, when a hitter takes away a strength of a pitcher, what does he do? Does he go to his strength or does he pitch away from it and vice versa? And I always believed that no matter what your strength was as a hitter, I'm imposing my will first. If I have to adjust, I will, but I'm not going to back down on what I think I do well as a pitcher. And so that's what I look for each pitcher to see if they can establish themselves early under the gun in the moment of a World Series, because it's way different than a regular season game.
Hall of Famer John Smoltz with us here on Dukes and Bell. Game 2 tonight, guys. Smoltz, Rosario, 15 of 26 is past 6 games. And taking you back, you talk about guys that have had, you know, 11-game hit streak or more. You're talking about guys like Marquise Grissom, who did it in the mid-90s. Mark Lemke did it, I think, in 96. He had a 13-game hit streak in these playoffs. What Rosario is doing and staying in that zone, how difficult is that?
It was super difficult. And I'm really surprised at how many pitchers are throwing him strikes. He doesn't want to walk, okay? That's the other thing that at this time of the year, if you know a guy doesn't want to walk, you don't have to throw him strikes and see, and just see if he's willing to take a walk. That's the way I would approach him now, because you got to give the man his due. He's seeing beach balls. It's similar to Kike Hernandez in the stretch he went on. He's seeing a ball that just doesn't look like a baseball. And when that happens, it runs its course of time. It's almost impossible to stay. And you saw Kike with the Red Sox just kind of become human and went, you know, couldn't live up to that pace. So if I'm facing somebody in the other team that has this kind of run, I'm going to not throw him strikes and see if he still wants to hit. If he wants to hit, he'll swing at balls. But he's doing everything you have to do to help a ball club, you know, one-man wrecking crew, and they've got a couple of them right now. Both he and Albies could do no wrong last night. And I mentioned what the three guys for the Astros could do no right. So, you know, those are pretty good formulas if you're a Braves fan. If you're Houston, you've been there, done that, and you know you can bounce back it's all you got to do is unleash your hitters, and you got a tough task tonight with Max Fried.
Were you about as surprised as we were to see just how severe the injury was to Morton and how he was able to get through it through the last two batters and then one more batter? I mean, it's not a bloody sock like Schilling, but if we go on to win the series, it's a hell of a legend.
Yeah, you know, it didn't seem like much, right? All pitchers get hit at different times on comebackers, and you usually can tell by the way someone reacted. He didn't really react like it stung him. But I think the swelling, and then I really believe that pitch he threw, he kind of hyperextended his landing leg, which I think did a little bit more when he landed on his right. You could tell he wanted to get off it right away. So, yeah, you can only do so much, and you never want to come out of those games. And you could tell Charlie, with all of his experience, wasn't coming out of that game unless something like that happened, especially with the circumstances, you know, of a 5-run lead in a game that he, you know, seems to thrive on in the postseason. Hate it for him. Hate it for any pitcher. Same thing with McCullers in Houston. You know, he's their weapon. This would have been a much different series if both those studs for each team were able to pitch. But much like this year, every team knows they've got to move on, and the Braves, no one will tell you that they don't have injuries, and you certainly can make the case that the Braves have had their share of revamping their team, and so they're not going to sit there and waddle over it. They're just going to move on. But you hate it for Charlie.
Before we let you go, John, it's John Smoltz, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. 6 2/3 strong innings from the bullpen. That's what they did last night to pick up this W. We've been a little bit shaky with Luke Jackson, and then you see Will Smith come in last night at the end of the game, and you're going, okay, how do you feel about our last few innings and the pitchers that we're throwing out there? Matzik's been great, but I'm curious to know about what you think about our closer.
Well, you know, I've always, from afar, he's got a great breaking ball, and maybe I'm a little old school when it comes to coming in a game, and you know, if you have a weapon, you want to use it. But I think he can use his fastball a little bit more. And if he loses confidence in his fastball, of course he's going to his slider and breaking ball. And the more the hitter gets to see it, I think it just frames it up a little bit more. And when he's going good, which he's done it several times during the year, he's able to pound his fastball for strike. And he doesn't have to throw it a lot of them. But I think he can shock a lot of hitters with that fastball because they're ready going up looking for the breaking ball. And he's got great spin and tilt on it. And I get all that. And I just think, you know, this time of year, whether it's Luke Jackson with his fastball, electric stuff, if he commands it, the hitters don't have much of a chance. He's proved that during the regular season. But what happens, again, the more you're using guys, the more they see you. You know, you don't face a team 7 possible times or 6 times in a row. Right. In a regular season, you might not face the same 3 guys as a closer in any series. But you're going to face the same guys here. If you have the lead, you're facing these guys. And it would be by randomness that you don't face anybody twice. So that's what I've always believed in. And I think, you know, it's a little different today with the information. They're going all in on information. And that's good. But sometimes in a game, you got to be able to adjust and alter when things change or your eyes see things differently.
And the way Snicker's kind of, you know, approaching it, you know, an old-school way. Speaking of the Braves, John, I know you have to be Switzerland on a national broadcast, but you got to have some sense of pride for how they've been able to get to where they were before the All-Star break.
You know, I was saying, and it might surprise some people, that I think it's similar, although when I make this statement, people are going to roll their eyes. 1991 will never be reproduced, right? But the essence of catching everybody by surprise in 1991 was something that caught this city by storm. I think the similar kind of storyline is, if you asked everybody at the All-Star break or before, no chance. I mean, they lost everybody. They're not playing good baseball. The thought of going to the World Series couldn't have entered anybody's mind. So I say that is similar to the same thing when I was speaking at I was coming into a season tickets luncheon holder at 1991 early, thinking, you never know, get your tickets now. People thought, this guy's lost his mind. There's no chance the Braves are going to the World Series. I said, you never know, when we get to the World Series, you want to be those people that lock in their tickets, and sure enough, we go. When I look at and nationally look at the Atlanta Braves, I see an organization that's prideful, that is led by a man who's under a man of Bobby Cox, who knows how to lead a club. the Atlanta Braves have the it factor. And everyone's tried to explain what is the it factor. And as a player, you know what that is. You have confidence in people that no one else has in themselves. You believe you've got this brashness. You think it's going to get done. Your organization helps you out. And they have the it factor. You know, will that alone win a World Series? I don't know. But it sure helps if you believe it as a player. And this team, out of the break, went 17 straight games of win one, lose one baseball. That was their identity. So that in and of itself was not getting them into the postseason.
Right.
But then it happened. And whether it was bringing over the Jock Petersons, who are different and just fly to a different tune, and it works, and postseason he's a different guy, I think that all marinated itself in a way where, through Brian Snitker and some of that old school thinking, it meshed. And you know what? Don't tell them anything different. If somebody came in the locker room and said something, they would kick them out going, you don't know our team. You don't know what we've been through. And I think on the flip side, what Houston's got going for them, they got a huge chip on their shoulder that wants to prove to the world that 2 years ago was an outlier and that they are a great team and they deserve respect if they are going to win a World Series. It will be different than the one that they have the cloud over their heads. And I think it's unique that both clubs are here for different reasons, but that chip on their shoulder.
Well stated. John Smoltz, keep killing it. Keep doing a great job. We'll be watching tonight and throughout the World Series. It's back in Atlanta, guys, on Friday. John Smoltz, thank you for the time today. We know you're busy, man. We appreciate you.
Well, I just I appreciate it. And sleeping in my own bed for a World Series is pretty cool.
Right on, brother.
No doubt.
Have a good call, man.
All right, thanks.
There he is, guys. And that's why he is the best in the business. All right, we're coming back. You just heard Smoltz's analysis. Great stuff to get the show started. We got a lot to get to, including Arthur Smith, Falcons head coach, stops by at 5 o'clock today. Hey, man. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, this radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. We'll get a poll up in just a bit. We'll come back and hit some headlines next.
Strap in, youngins. Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Mike said it. We made history last night with the home run. Third pitch. It's never, ever been done before. That's how the game got started. But you know what? It was everybody else chipping in, including Adam Duvall. Let's hear from Duvall.
Well, I mean, we tried to keep him in the zone, and we tried to get good pitches to hit, you know, up in the zone because all of his pitches have movement. So, you know, trying to swing at strikes is the biggest thing because he's got nasty stuff. So we wanted to keep him in zone and then, you know, take our A hacks at it.
Framber Valdez is who he's talking about, Mike. And boy, did we get to him. We chased him early. But I also think, Mike, getting the early lead put some pressure on the Astros. I thought they were pressing a little bit.
Yeah, and again, not watching the Astros as much as we do teams in the National League. I heard Smoltz talking about it last night that he kind of gets emotional at times. And, you know, had an ugly start early in the series against the Red Sox, came back, had confidence, and just was dominant against the Red Sox in Boston, of all places. But it is interesting, Carl, to know that, yeah, he got a little shaky. And then the mental aspect of it, I was watching Harold Reynolds last night on MLB Network, and they were showing, like, they had a high strike line, and the Braves were only offering it stuff that was up in the zone. They were going to stay away from it, kind of things what John Smoltz just told us about. So great discipline by the Braves and great game plan and execution.
Yeah, it really was. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room, and we've got to dive deeper into this as the show goes on. Who do you want to replace Morton? They've yet to make the announcement, Mike, but do you have a choice? Do you have a selection?
Yeah, you really don't have many options other than, you know, you're going to do what? I don't see the viability of two bullpen starts. I mean, nowadays, your starter's not going that deep anyway. You know, it drives us, drives Smoltz crazy, I know, but I guess you either want to run with Kyle Wright or Smiley, right?
Yeah, I think
those. And then the bullpen, but I mean, look, you just saw Matzik, you know, Minter just went 2 2/3, so, you know, he's going to be wore out for tonight. You can't use Minter. And so let's hope that, first things first, Fried gives us a strong outing. Anderson gives us a strong outing. That's the key to setting up all of this. Then we can worry about the other stuff.
You're right, because let's worry about those games. Guys, if we are up 3-0 and we need one, I don't care how we get it done. You could go through 8 pitchers, right, Mike? I mean, to get the game started, if you wanted to go inning by inning, I don't care how you get it done, and that's unrealistic. But the point is, we need to win tonight first, but the Charlie Morton replacement will be announced today as the Braves will make a roster move. We'll keep you updated on that. Meanwhile, the Hawks play the Pelicans tonight, as you heard Mike Conte talk about, and Atlanta United. It is a busy sports day. There's no doubt about it. But, Mike, tonight, let's start with Atlanta United playing Miami. You said this is a club you think we can get. We need a dub.
Yeah, is Joseph Martinez going to be able to give you a full 90 minutes? Are they going to sub him in, sub him out? What about the other guys? You know, can we see the dudes up front? Barco back after having the red card accumulation, all that. Barco can be a big factor, but it's frustrating, Carl. We haven't had the band together for a little bit. We gave one away. We let one off the hook. Should have won the other night. Obviously, the last minute or last 2-minute goal against New York City, NYCFC. But this is a team we beat about a month ago, 1-0, and we had some good opportunities in the second half. I think they're going to get it done tonight and hopefully keep on trucking. Again, there is still that chance for one home game in the playoffs.
Yeah, we play tonight, and then we've got a match on Saturday. So, you know, it's a quick turnaround. We've usually had one match a week. We got a couple now.
Right, but you got to be creative with the roster so you can't burn guys out. But we do have, we got four or five guys who can score, but how are you going to mix and match them in those two games?
Meanwhile, the Hawks tonight play against the Pelicans. Hawks off to a good start. Now, we're obviously going to talk plenty about our Hawks as the season goes along. We were not happy with the effort the other night in Cleveland, but they came back, handled business the other night. Now tonight they're playing the Pelicans, Mike. And you know, we haven't really talked about this, but Zion, man, and this foot thing that's going on with Zion. People are asking me, oh, should they be worried? Yeah, I would be worried with a big guy who came into the league and people were already talking about weight and how he was going to carry that weight. And now you're talking about foot issues that have kept him out of the start of the season.
Right. So, again, this is one of those dudes that he has missed some time, other various injuries. He is a big dude, let's be honest. On that the NBA 75th anniversary, he's one of the guys shattering the rim. You see that? But he will not be out there tonight, 7:30 tonight. It is also on ESPN, by the way. Again, we didn't know we'd be conflicting with the Braves World Series, but part of the national profile that the Hawks are part of this year.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. So here's the deal, guys, as we talk about what is where tonight, just so you know, Atlanta United will be on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, okay? Our Hawks will be on our sister station, V103. So just want to make sure, and as the week goes along, we'll be doing some shuffling and things, but that's basically going to happen tonight. Now, to the NFL. First time we've heard from Roger Goodell. And this Deshaun Watson thing, guys, you're going to hear a lot about it because the trade deadline is next week in the NFL. There will be moves, but the big one will be whether or not Deshaun Watson gets moved. Mike and I have both said he's not on the commissioner's exempt list.
Right.
Why not trade for him if you are a team? And Carolina, by the way, says they're out, which we'll talk about. But why not if he's able to play? Here's what Roger Goodell said about Deshaun Watson.
That process is still ongoing. And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commissioner exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
So let me get this straight. He could potentially be traded, and then you'll have enough information. I freaking hate Roger Goodell with every fiber of my being. Look, I know the optics are terrible on Deshaun Watson, but this is still America. You're still innocent until proven guilty. Let the man earn a paycheck, okay? Oh, that wears me out.
I know.
You know, and all these phony owners, everybody being asked about the Washington football team investigation. Jerry Jones, I'm very satisfied with that investigation. I saw, Woody Johnson say, we're here to talk football. Yeah, because you guys did a whitewash on this thing. You got your scapegoated Gruden, who deserved it, but still. The NFL, you know what? These guys are a bunch of crooks, Carl. Where was I?
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
Yeah, isn't it ironic now, this Washington football? By the way, Goodell, the other part of it is Goodell said yesterday, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment here on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live. Live well. He also said that they're pretty much done with this. We were saying release the emails because they don't want to incriminate the folks who cooperated. And Mike, I'm sitting there and I saw this last night and I was like, so this is sort of like Major League Baseball with the Astros situation, right? We don't want to incriminate those who gave us information in this process, so we're going to leave it alone. This is crap. I'm sorry.
Yeah, meanwhile, the guy who lost his head coach, Mark Davis of the Raiders, he believes the league should release a written report. He's the only owner who wants that. Nobody else does.
Of course.
Look, again, it's just – and just going back to the initial thing with Deshaun Watson, to me, it's so ridiculous. I mean, I get it. It looks bad, okay? But we've also seen guys look really bad, like what happened with Ozuna, and all of a sudden things change quickly. So for Roger Goodell to sit there and equivocate, well, right now we don't have enough information on it. Well, seriously, who are you talking to? I mean, you guys got enough FBI guys to sink the Titanic working for NFL security. Figure it out. Because how is this? All the fans want to see this poor guy get out of Houston one way or the other. You know, and then just for it's good for the league that this guy's to a team because he's going to make another team viable. But Roger Goodell obviously affected by the big picture because heaven forbid we have a guy with some criminality in his life and we don't even know if there's going to be any criminal charges that he's going to be found guilty of.
You people make me sick. It's true.
I'm just sticking up for the hometown kid from Gainesville.
It's true. It is true. All right, man, coming up, more on this World Series. The real story last night. Mike and I will dive into that. We'll let you hear from Max Fried, who pitches tonight. Last night, guys, great win. But we need three more. And Mike's right. We can't worry about the Morton situation until, hey, we see what Freed's going to give. Mike, he's got to pitch us well tonight. He's got to give us six strong innings. We're going to dive into that coming up on Dukes and Bell.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Glad to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Braves, Astros tonight, game two. And the BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. It's wagertainment for every fan, morning, afternoon, and night. Your one-stop shop, guys, for betting info. Get sports betting tips from local talent, national experts, sports betting, and entertainment content for the casual and the hardcore bettors. It's BetQL, the network on the Odyssey app. Mike, we were worried going into the season, or the postseason, should I say, about the bullpen, and rightfully so. You know, we just didn't know. Some areas were shaky. We asked John Smoltz, if you missed it, guys, we'll let you hear what he had to say coming up at 5:20. It was so interesting, his perspective on things. He'll call game two tonight with Joe Buck, but he said he believes Will Smith using his fastball more to keep guys off guard is going to be something that he needs to see, and he talked about Luke Jackson. Last night, Mike, Luke went 1 2/3 scoreless innings. It was a good outing for Luke.
Yeah, again, I'm just so glad the guy's head was in the right space. It was something you and I spent a lot of time talking about yesterday. I mean, just the fact that he was dialed in and he was solid, you know, and that's, I mean, I just thought, you know, I know that we've gone through our ups and downs, and he's certainly, Carl, this year, part of the reason why the Braves are in the World Series, but I just thought he handled his business, man. And, you know, sometimes he gets a little too cute with some of the things. I know John talked about it. Some of these guys, it's again, I know that analytics, as John said, has a place, but sometimes it's like, man, if your two best pitches, throw your two best pitches, right?
Yeah, I mean, throw your best stuff, right? We talked about it during the season. Let's hear from Brian Snicker on A.J. Minter's outing, because Minter, well, he was brilliant yesterday as well.
Huge what A.J. pulled down. I mean, he did it for us last year in the NLCS. But that tonight was really, really good. I mean, he was good. He was well-rested. and he pulled down some really, really big innings for us to kind of, you know, went to him earlier than we normally would. But like I said earlier today, you do things differently here.
That you do. And it's good to know. We're in the World Series. Yeah, and some things don't change. Some things don't change. That's good to know. So Snit is very comfortable. But the bullpen was, to me, the real story. Because once Morton goes down, you're going, okay, how do we get to the end of this game? And at that point, are you trying to hold on? We want to extend the lead, but you got a 5-0 lead already. So the bullpen comes through 6 2/3 innings, complete guys. When you talk about Luke and Minter and all these guys. So this was a bullpen game. This was a game that, yes, our starters started well, but we got runs early. And then our bullpen won this game last night because you kept a very good Astros ball club down the entire night.
Well, that's just it. You know, some guys are saying, you know, why are you fretting the Chris? Well, I mean, we're fretting the Charlie Morton thing because, Carl, in a best-case scenario, the game was going to go, the series would go 5 or 6 games where you may have only seen him one more time. But there was always the idea that if we go 7 games, it would be all hands on deck. And,
right.
You know, I don't know what his next start would be, but I was kind of counting on him. Again, depending on if, the heaven forbid, the Astros got some momentum, then he might have had to go early. He might have had to pitch in that game we thought was going to be the bullpen start on short rest. Either way, not an option. So they do bring up, was it Tucker Davidson is back? So they're bringing him back up to replace him. That was just approved by Major League Baseball. So I know that we mentioned Kyle Wright, and I know that you and I have said, you know, it's sooner or later, it's kind of, you know, poop or get off the pot time for him. But Tucker Davidson on the World Series roster for the injured Charlie Morton. And of course, Smiley we also have as well.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm worried because here's the thing. Charlie Morton was going to be your Game 7 starter if needed. Okay. In the biggest moment, if you needed it. Now you've got a piecemeal, potentially, a situation together. Now you just shift things, Mike, and you're going to say, okay, that'll be Max Fried in Game 7 if we need it. But we're still looking at two starts of uncertainty. And what I mean by that is, you remember in the Dodgers series, the Jesse Chavez Smiley go-to, which worked for us. Mike, we might see Minter start in a game because he's done that. And I know it sounds crazy, but
right.
Tucker Davidson is a guy that could come out of the bullpen as well. Maybe you're replacing more of a bullpen arm than a guy who's going to not help you in a starting situation. So Snit's going to put all that together. But, guys, there are options. But, yeah, at the end of the day, if this happens to go 7, if you're telling me, yeah, well, the Charlie Morton thing doesn't matter. It did. It does.
Well, again, Valdez got rocked. He did get rocked early in the Red Sox series. He came back and had a dominant performance. So the bad news is we're going to see that guy again, despite how bad he looked. And you couldn't look any worse at 5 earned runs with 8 hits, you know, and a walk. But you heard John Smoltz. And again, they talked about it on the broadcast last night. A little bit of emotion. So if he can get it dialed back in. But don't write that guy off. He's pretty good, too.
404-741-0929. Your thoughts on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And we talked about this. We'll get a poll question up at Dukes and Bell 929 talking about this because, you know, it's not as if you are, you know, more doubtful or skeptical about the outcome of this series, but it does play a role into how things are going to be managed moving forward once we get past Game 3. Because Mike said it, Ian Anderson, we know that Game 3, and then we'll see how Snit is able to do this. Last night, another guy that, you know, again, we were talking about all these guys and living the dream. Well, Max Fried talked about his dream.
This is what, you know, you dream about as a kid, you know, from the time that I started playing, you dream about playing in the World Series, but at the end of the day, you have to know what got you here, and, you know, I got a lot of really good guys that are going to be able to be there and support me and got my back.
Yeah. What free did we get tonight?
Well, I sure hope it's better than what we got in L.A. You know, that was disappointing, right? I'm being straight with you.
It was.
He's supposed to be, you know, the number two guy. You know what I mean? I mean, it was Soroka and Fried, and these guys are going to be our, you know, Smoltz and Glavin, or Glavin and Maddox, whoever you want to, you know, quantify it. But, yeah, he needs to step it up. And I think knowing Max, as mellow as he, maybe L.A. can want to back home from just messes with him. I don't know. But, yeah, he's got to be on. He's got to give us more than that. Because the last thing we need is the bullpen have to pitch 6 innings tonight.
Yeah. John Smoltz pointed out that basically the middle of that lineup last night went 0-for-12, right? The guys that you count on, including Altuve, who, for me, Mike, it looked like I'm not going to say he was lost, but he was just kind of
Ugly at bats.
He's
a real ugly. And I know that John took the words right out of my mouth. He stirs the drink. And if he's not doing well, I mean, apparently my dog in the background is a big Altuve fan. Pipe down. But, Altuve.
No, he was saying, cheater.
Yes, but I'll just, what's that, boy? You think they're awful people? But, yeah, man, he is a table setter for them. And so as he goes, so go the Astros. He couldn't really get things going. I told you about Tucker because I watched him in that last game, Game 6 against the Red Sox in the ALCS. That guy is the dude who just comes up swinging. That's the guy that when he comes up, you need to throw him something out of the strike zone because he's looking up there. He's looking he's either sitting dead red or he's looking for something up in the strike zone. He did that every at bat last night.
So This is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. What do you do with the lineup, by the way? Do you keep Soler in the leadoff?
No, I go to Rosario back to first. Right, we got a right-hander.
Correct.
Yeah, correct, Chris. Yes, making sure I get that right. So yeah, man.
Yes. I was debating that as well, just because Soler's so hot. But nah, you're right. They're both hitting the ball well. Rosario mentioned it, 15-26. In his past six games, that's on fire.
Not that it matters lefty or righty the way Rosario is hitting right now, but you would have him lefty versus righty.
Yeah. All right, man. Plenty more to dive into. We mentioned Coach Art is going to join us today. That's Arthur Smith, our head coach of the Falcons. Guys, getting ready for Carolina. We're going to talk more about what's going on around the NFL. Apparently, Carolina is out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Now, our buddy Joe Person is going to join us on Friday as we go behind enemy lines. We're pushing that back right a little bit later this week, but we'll get his thoughts on everything that's going on. From what I'm seeing and hearing, Mike, it sounds like they've lost complete confidence in Darnell.
Yeah, and remember the storyline was weeks through weeks, what, 1, 2, and 3? Wow, you know, just Darnell needed a change of address. He needed better coaching than Adam Gase. And, you know, and Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, they've figured out what this guy is. And, yeah, he's reverted back to what he is, which is a bust. So, good for us. Good news. I mean, I think we've got some degree of momentum. I think, you know, we won out of the bye week. The defense struggled. I know Squidbilly will talk more about this coming up. But Debo was the defensive player of the week. I know I mentioned specifically to you, I saw a bunch of missed tackles, and Debo was a culprit on two of them, but he also had 3 tackles for loss and a sack, and he led the team, I think, 15 tackles, 11 solo. So, I mean, he's the one guy, along with Grady, kind of doing the job along. You could throw Terrell in there. Foyer had a pick. We just need, if these guys that are kind of like just average Joes on our defense could elevate their game a little bit, it would make things a lot easier because the offense is doing its job.
Yeah, and I don't know if Coach Art would tell us, you know, what the chart says about missed tackles. For those who don't know, they go back through the film, and all of this stuff is charted out. And it's not just picking on one guy, but like, for example, the DC would be Dean Pease, and he'll say, we had 14 missed tackles in this game. And then they literally break them down and show guys, that should have been made, the help should have came there. And so I don't know what that number was, Mike, but, yeah, it felt like we had a bunch of missed tackles in this game, even though we were able to come out victorious. Right. All right, man, plenty to get to, including around the NFL. We're going to let you hear from Brian Flores, the team we just beat. Talking about confidence, well, it doesn't sound like his coach is too confident. And Aaron without his big weapon is coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.